The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, is a very joyful feast, especially for us here at Christ the King Parish. It's also especially joyful because somehow the Kansas Jayhawks beat the Colorado Buffaloes in football yesterday. But that's unrelated. But it's a joyful day because we honor Christ as King. We honor him as the sovereign. It's kind of a weird word for us to hear today. It sounds like an old-timey word, but the sovereign means basically the one that's at the top of the food chain, the alpha predator, the one that nobody else is ahead of. But the strange thing about Jesus that we see, especially in this gospel, when he's before Pilate, the earthly ruler of the place that he lived in, that is, he's placed before Pilate and handed over, and the crowds are asking for him to be crucified. This king doesn't seem like a king. Doesn't seem like the sovereign. He doesn't seem like the one that is on the top of the food chain. But Pilate questions him and seems to think that there is something to this Jesus character. There is something of maybe a messianic quality, of maybe a kingly quality, but he can't quite place his finger on it. Because Jesus' kingdom is first a mysterious kingdom. Not mysterious in that we can't understand it, but that it's always kind of there, but not quite fully visible. It's always kind of there, but a little bit misunderstood. That we're a little bit unsure if it's really going to be the one that wins. I think that's what it looks like as Jesus is put in front of Pilate. He says, "Why would they have handed you over if you are the King of the Jews? The Jews are the ones that brought you to me." And Jesus doesn't directly answer the question, but he allows his kingdom to be mysterious. He doesn't say that it doesn't exist, but that it is not of this world. And it's not about just fighting over earthly territory. It's not about who has the most power or strength or knowledge or wisdom, but that his kingdom is mysterious. It's not that it's not real, but it's just that we can't always grasp it or predict it. But the second thing about Jesus' kingdom and him as king is that it is surprising. Because Jesus himself would not have been a very remarkable person. I'm sure Pilate met with all sorts of people that were like Jesus, that were born in Nowheresville, that didn't have a particular eventful upbringing or adult life. But it would be surprising when Jesus was brought in front of him. Maybe he had heard stories of Jesus and he looked at Jesus and said, "Be honest, not really that impressive." I don't think Jesus was probably particularly tall or physically strong or imposing. But all sorts of people like that would have been brought in front of Pilate, and he might have thought, "Oh, I need to make sure I have my soldiers and my army with me, because this one could physically take me." I don't think that's how he felt with Jesus. He looked at him and he was surprised that this could be some sort of king. Now, what kind of kingdom could he have if he wasn't surrounded by armies, if he wasn't physically imposing? There wasn't droves of people following him, telling Pilate not to do anything bad to him. And yet, even though this kingdom is mysterious and surprising, it is real. That's really the difficulty for Pilate, that he has the crowd outside shouting for Jesus' death, and he seems to think that this really is some sort of king, that he shouldn't do something bad, that he shouldn't ultimately crucify this man. And Jesus never says that he's not a king or that his kingdom isn't real, but he also doesn't answer the question directly. He doesn't say, this is what my kingdom looks like or anything like that. But it seems that Pilate does believe him. He believes that there is something different about this Jesus. When we look at Jesus' kingdom, we can see that it is this heavenly kingdom. It's not just a kingdom of certain earthly territory or places. It's actually a kingdom that spans the whole world. That's what we see in the church, that Jesus' love and his teaching has actually gone from end to end of the earth. We believe it even exists in the heavenly kingdom with the communion of the saints. But it's important that we realize that it is something real. I think that happened not for Pilate and the crowds in this moment of the gospel, but eventually after his crowning of thorns and after his crucifixion, and ultimately in his resurrection. That as the news of this resurrection spreads, they realize that that's the kingdom of heaven that he was speaking of. That's this kingdom that's real, even if it's mysterious and surprising, actually shows up. And I can imagine them seeing and hearing stories of lives of people that they knew changing. Maybe for Pilate, he heard the story of the soldier that was there at the cross and heard, well, saw Jesus being crucified and then said, this man truly was the Son of God. And he professes this faith that Jesus is something greater than just another criminal that we killed. That as news of this spreads about, I think Pilate and the others around him, whether it was the Jews in the crowd or the apostles or other disciples that followed Jesus, slowly start to realize that this kingdom is real. The kingship of Jesus isn't just something imagined or something hoped for in the future, but in a mysterious and surprising way, it actually shows up now. Because it's not an earthly kingdom. It's not really even about government or power. Instead, it is about a kingdom of love. A kingdom that chooses the good of others and slowly starts to spread as the love of God infuses all of the things around it. That is the kind of kingdom that Jesus came to bring. That is the ways that he is the king of the world. And so his kingdom can go in all places, not just places that are easy or comfortable, but that it can go to the poor and the isolated, that it can go to the imprisoned and those that are sick. It can go to those that are successful and powerful or those that are far from family or homelands. And in all situations, that kingdom of love can be present, oftentimes in a mysterious or surprising way, but always in a way that is truly real. It shows us that his kingdom isn't just waiting for us in heaven, but that we start to experience it here on earth. Brothers and sisters, we're invited into that kingdom, but also to spread the goodness of that kingdom. To be like our king and to imitate him as his soldiers, if you want to think of it that way, we're just as those that take this kingdom and bring it to new places. Maybe like we often wear or take pride in the American flag. If we go abroad or we go to a place that we want to show that America is a good place, it is a place of freedom, it is a place that we are proud of. I think in a similar way, as Christians, we want to go into the world and say, Jesus as my king is something that I am proud of. Not in a way that I need to force other people to do it, but because in a mysterious and surprising way, it changes everything that I do. So how do we bring this kingdom of love into the world? How do we become like Christ our King? Certainly growing in all sorts of virtues and being Christ-like would help that. But I actually think one in particular is needed now in our day and age. That's simply the virtue and the gift of self-control. Because the world around us so often shouts that we need to be self-indulgent. Not that we just need to be undisciplined and do whatever we want, but that everything should be in reference to me and what I want. But here, see, advertisements and things calling us to just do the things that feel right or that we want in a moment. That it encourages us to give into the things that we think are best. But the virtue of self-control invites us to say, sometimes the thing that is best right now is not the thing that I want. Sometimes the thing that's best right now is to choose the good of the other. To choose the good of my family. To choose the good of my neighbor. Maybe to choose the good of just the world around me. That's St. Thomas Aquinas' definition of love, is to choose the good of the other. Oftentimes when it doesn't necessarily feel good or that we won't get anything in return. But that virtue of self-control teaches us that we can actually choose the good for others, that it's not just about me doing what I want in a moment. But actually to bring the kingdom of love into the world, oftentimes I have to do the opposite. Not just to be disciplined, not just to kind of break down my own will or my own desires, but because it is good to love. It is good to choose what is best for another. I'd say it's good to bring that mysterious and surprising love of God into the world. That is how the kingdom of God grows. That's how we make his kingdom come today, just as it did 2,000 years ago. So brothers and sisters, let us thank God for his generous kingdom, for the ways he has become the king of our lives and brought that mysterious and surprising love to us personally. Let's also pray that through the grace of self-control, we will learn to have that discipline, not just denying ourselves or doing things that are difficult, but instead that through self-control, we can be like Christ our King, that in a mysterious and surprising way, we can love others generously. That through those gifts and through that love, his kingdom will come again.